Okay, I'm gonna ask you to go to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14 today. I wanted to share on reasons not to fear. As we know, fear is a extremely destructive emotion. It causes people to freeze. It ensnares them, as we know in the Bible, says that fear of man bringeth a snare. It causes people to run away, to flee, to avoid problems that need to be addressed, to hide behind closed doors, like the apostles. It causes people to do things or to accept situations they would normally never accept. Recall Abraham asked Sarah if she would be his sister, say she was his sister, because he was afraid of what would happen. It causes physical manifestations like trembling and sweating and depression and sickness and so forth. I don't think I have to tell you all about the things that fear can do. Well, those are some of them. Here's some wonderful, again, people in the world, quotes that people have said about fear, I thought might be interesting to just go to let you know about. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that fear defeats more people than any other thing in the world. Florence Nightingale, how very little can be done under the spirit of fear. Dale Carnegie, if you're Scottish, fear doesn't exist anywhere except in the mind. Mark Twain said, I have spent most of my life worrying about things that have never happened. And he also said, worrying is like paying a debt you don't owe. I thought that was some insightful stuff there from people. Why do we get afraid? And I thought I'd just share a number of reasons that biblically that I know that people get afraid, and I'm sure others have other reasons, but sometimes we get afraid because of what we take in regularly. There's a lot in the Bible that talks about how the words of men and others make people afraid. Like if you remember Rabshakeh and the attack on Israel or Judah, how they were speaking to the men on the wall to make them afraid. They were just words, but they were to make them afraid. So what we take in regularly is a huge part of why we might have fear. Another reason people get afraid is because others are afraid. People around you are afraid. It tends to breed fear. If you remember in the Old Testament, God said, neither fear ye their fear. Our whole city had gotten afraid as well because others were afraid. And that might be pretty telling of what's going on in the world these days. Human reasoning makes us afraid. We logic things out in our minds and leads to fears, because we're using human reasoning over biblical reasoning, and it can lead to fear. Sometimes people are afraid of a danger to their life or a loss of their life. That's another reason. If you remember Jesus Christ, there's only two times that he said to them, "O ye of little faith," and one of them times was when they were afraid for their lives. He said, "Come on now, if my Father can't take care of that, what can he take care of? Oh, ye of little faith," he said. Sometimes people are afraid of sickness. People are afraid of poverty, that their daily needs won't get met. And again, that's the other time that Jesus Christ said, "Oh, ye of little faith," when they were concerned about what they were going to eat and what they were going to, all that kind of stuff, the basics of life. He said, "Well, that's believing hasn't even started if that's what we're afraid of." Some people are afraid of loneliness. Some people are afraid because of sin in their life. It goes on and on. List can go on and on. These are some of the things I noted in God's Word, but I don't want to spend much more time talking about reasons to be afraid or why we're afraid or what fear does. I want to look at reasons to not to fear. And in Numbers 14, we'll start there in verse 1, chapter 14. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel," this is just at the entry to the promised land. They're about to go in, and they didn't like the report brought back by the men that went to spy the land. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt, where we were killing our own children and all that kind of stuff? I don't think so. And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. They're obviously full of great fear here, lots of fear. And Joshua the son of Nun, verse 6, and Caleb son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, just like their manna, you know, they're melt before us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. That's one of the greatest, great reasons, and there's so much in the Bible about this. One of the great reasons to not be afraid is because God is with us. God is with us. It's a very simple truth, but boy, it's a powerful one. Why would we ever be afraid if we believe that our God is with us? In Deuteronomy chapter 20. Verse 1. We heard this in the manifestations today. Verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, more people, more chariots than them, be not afraid of them. Why? There's more than us. Why would I not be afraid of them? For the Lord thy God is with thee. That's a really very powerful reason not to be afraid, because God is with us. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when you are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. That's what fear does. It causes people's hearts to faint. Fear not, and do not tremble. Or do not tremble. People tremble. They get sweaty. They get worried and upset. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you. And God told us that again today. I will fight for you. To fight for you against your enemies to save you. In Deuteronomy 31. Again, there are a lot of verses and a lot of text in the Bible on this topic of God being with us, but we'll just look at a few of them. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. This is Moses' charge to Israel. Nor be afraid of them. Why not? For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. You see, the great reason to not be afraid ever of anything is because God is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? You know, there's no reason ever to be afraid. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles. I'm not talking about being rash and, you know, brash in life and saying, oh, I'm not afraid of anything, so I can do this and do that. And Nothing will happen. I don't mean that. I mean that there are reasons in the world that, you know, that fear is something that challenges us. And in those situations, not to be, you know, arrogant and prideful, but to recognize that God is with us. And whatever we got to get through, whatever we got to do, He's with us. He's not going to forsake us. He never forsook Israel, and He's our Father and dwells within us. Why would He ever forsake us? What reason have we ever to be afraid? 2 Chronicles 20, and I'm at 15. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. Jehoshaphat, who feared and sought the Lord in a tough situation, and then the prophet responds to him in verse 15. And he said, "Hearken, you all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you." This is after Jehoshaphat had sought the Lord. "Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they can't come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed." See, always a great reason not to be afraid is because God is with them. "Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." In 2 Chronicles 20, 32, a little bit over. Verse 7, in 2 Chronicles 32, is Hezekiah. Again, just picking up some men and women in the Word of God who just refused to fear. Verse 7, "Be strong and courageous." This is Hezekiah. "Now, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him." And now, speaking physically, numerically, that was not true, because there were a great multitude. "With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and fight our battles." That's why there was more with them than on Hezekiah's side than the other side, because God was with them. And it doesn't matter who's on the other side of the list. "And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah." Just like you can be filled with fear by words, you too can overcome fear with the right words. And the right words are the words that say that God is with us. There's no reason for us to ever be afraid. In Psalm 23, you guys know this. I will just read it. It's wonderful to read. Psalm 23. Verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." Just that in itself should be enough to not have fear. "I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because I am just so powerful." It says, "I will fear no evil." Why? For thou art with me. You see, it's just a very, very simple but very powerful reason not to be afraid, because God is with us. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." In Psalm 118, you see, his determination there was, "I will not be afraid." That determination is based solely on the words of God to him. "I will not be afraid, because God is with me." Psalm 118, verse 6. "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? I will not be afraid," because the Lord is on our side. In Hebrews 13, which is where this is quoted, let's look at that. Jump over to Hebrews. Hebrews 13, verse 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. No fear. There's no reason to be afraid. You know, that's the wonderful, strong reason. Another reason not to be afraid, biblically, Psalm 27, is that God is the strength of our lives. You know, so Psalm 27, obviously very related to the first reason. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If God is the strength of our lives, and this is Psalms. And we looked a little while ago at, you know, what we have now is better than the Psalms. Well, you know, God in Christ in you. You know, boy, God is certainly the strength of our lives. Verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh. Pretty serious. They stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Psalm 56. Psalm 56. God is the strength of our lives. Isn't that wonderful? Psalm 56, wonderful verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Doesn't matter. Any time you get this inkling to be afraid of anything, you know, and we have the blessing to be able to speak in tongues and know God is with us. I will trust in thee. You know, another place God, the psalmist says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You know, everything. God is the strength of our lives. What he's done for us, in Christ, is available for us to call on any moment, any second of any day, and recognize that God is right there. He is with us. He is the strength of our lives. In Psalm 31, let's go back quickly here. Again, there's so much on this. Psalm 31:13. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. There was reasons to be afraid. Lots going on, lots of bad words and things happening. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. You know, if you read, you know, a lot of times people love the Psalms because they're so, there's a lot of Psalms that are talking about, you know, God's beauty and greatness and wonder. But there's also a lot of Psalms that talk about the wickedness in the world and how the only defense, the only protection, the only way out to be blessed and protected is by trusting in God. And you see that in a lot of David's Psalms, a lot on that. Verse 14, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hands, thy hand. Everything I have, it's in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from that persecute me. You know, and God certainly did. Psalm 46. God is the strength of our lives. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear? That's the reason we won't fear. Though the earth be moved, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and that's pretty calamitous, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, we're not going to be afraid. So even if those kinds of things happen, because he's the strength of our lives, there's no reason for us to be afraid. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Another reason to not be afraid. Again, biblically speaking. Is in Joshua chapter 1. Verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. It's a common theme, isn't it? Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. One of the great reasons that we should not have fear is because we have God's word, God, the one who created the heavens and the earth. We have his word on the issues of life. Here God tells Moses, look, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It was, you're going to stay your mind and speak my word, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe it according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. See, here it is again. No reason to be afraid. God is with us. He's the strength of our lives. And we have God's word on the issues of life. We know what is going to happen. We know where we stand with God. We know what Jesus Christ has done for us. We have God's word. And don't we have God's word on all the issues that pertain to this life? That's what the word says. In 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17, verse 9. This is when God was talking to Elijah, and he tells him in verse 9, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Look, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not cake but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." You know, that's it. It's over. Lots of fear around, lots of problems. Elijah said unto her, "Fear not." Why? Why? I'm in a situation, I have no food, I'm about to die. Why would you say, "Fear not"? "Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for my son. For thus saith the Lord." The reason he told her, you don't have to be afraid, because I'm going to give you God's word on this situation. I'm going to tell you exactly what God's word says. And because of that, she had no reason to be afraid. "The barrel of oil, meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And next page. Sometimes hard to change. "And she and he and her house did eat many days." That was the reason. The reason she didn't have to be afraid was because Elijah said, "Here's the word of God in the situation. Once you have God's word on it, done deal. No reason to be afraid." Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. Again, these aren't all the reasons in the word not to be afraid. Just some of them. I'm sure you have many other favorite sections of scripture that help you. Proverbs 3, verse 1. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee? Verse 21. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall there be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then, because of the word of God, because of the scriptures, because of his commandments, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Why? Because you have God's word on it. You have his word. Thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. The word of God is what we are to take in regularly, and God promises because of his word, we can lie down and sleep in peace. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry about, you know, the next verse talks about sudden fear and all and so forth. You can read the whole section, but because we have God's word on it, it's a good reason for us not to be afraid. John 14. Another reason to not be afraid is because we have been delivered from fear by the work of Jesus Christ. In John 14, he told them as much. Again, we could spend a lot of time looking at all these areas, but just a few verses. John 14, he said to them in verse 27, he says, peace, and this is after he's just talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Told him, his disciples, don't let your heart be troubled, don't let it be afraid. And he tells them another time, I have overcome the world. He has overcome the world. You know, Hebrews chapter 2. So by the work that he accomplished, we have been delivered from the bondage of fear. Hebrews chapter 2. You know, sometimes you look at some of the situations that believers got into in the Word, and I look at it as like there's two worlds, you know, spiritual world and the natural world. There's one record where Jesus Christ was on the brow of a hill, right? And they were trying to push him off that hill, basically kill him, that he would die. And it says in the word, they just walked through the crowd. You know, it's like, as believers, you walk through the world. You're not of the world. So there's no reason for us to be impacted by the things the rest of the world is impacted by. The things that happen around us on a daily level that would lead us into fear or concern or worry. You know, believers can walk through the crowd because of the word that we have. You know, Psalm 91 talks about 1,000 falling at thy side and it shall not come nigh you. And what we have is better than that. We have better than the Psalms. So if that's true, then we're safe from the wrath to come. You know, Joseph and Mary, just when the adversary was about to destroy Jesus, they got up that night and they were gone. They walked through the crowd. They weren't afraid. They just had God's word. They knew God was with them and they were protected. Moses in the basket, you know, at a time when the Israelites were chucking their children out so they would not live, Moses is saved. You know, he's put in a basket and he's taken care of. You know, there's record after the Passover, you know, at a time when the angel of death killed all the firstborn. What happened to the Israelites? They were protected. So the, you know, believers just walking through the crowd of life, in my mind I see it that way. You know, no reason for us to be pushed around or moved by the, you know, the winds of doctrine of the world. There's no reason for it. We have God's word. God is with us. He's the strength of our lives. You know, we have God's word on it. And Jesus Christ has delivered us from fear. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil and deliver them who through fear of death. See, fear of death is a very, very common fear. Fear of death, because people don't know where they're going. They don't know what's coming. They're afraid of death. doesn't mean we love death. We embrace death. That's not what I'm saying. Death is an enemy. The Bible says that very clearly. But we're not afraid of it. People were afraid of death. Deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him took on the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And we've looked at a lot in fellowship about his ministry, what he's doing, and what he's currently now doing, taking care of the church, head of the church, directing the believers in the church, confirming the word with signs and wonders and miracles following. All the things that are his responsibility, he has pulled us out of the fear of the world. And even the fear of death he overcame. There's no reason to be afraid of it because he overcame that. In Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and everything that means, and all the, you know, the bad things that arise out of that, the fears and worries and doubts and jealousies and envies and everything else that it involves, the sickness and disease, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're now translated by the work of Jesus Christ out of all that. So we don't have to be afraid of any of that. We don't have to be impacted and affected daily like those who their whole lifetime are subject to bondage and fear because of the things that are going on in the world, right? And 2 Timothy, another reason, now this is the final one we'll look at, is because we are filled with the Spirit of God. It's a great reason to never be afraid. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You guys know this verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but, on the other hand, of power and of love and of a sound mind. Whereas the world is full of fear and unsound minds, God says that he has given us a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. You know, if you remember that record when after Jesus Christ appeared to those men in John 20, it says that, you know, even those guys were behind closed door because of the fear of the Jews. They were afraid. Those guys were very, very, very afraid. And he appears to them and tells them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, a little while later, they got born again on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And then when Peter stands up, he speaks the sermon. He goes, look, you guys, hearken to my words. He stands up there and he tells them exactly what had happened. And a little short while before that, he was afraid. What changed him? What made him go from that, being that way, to the point where he could stand up in front of all of them and said, you crucified the Lord. You know, God raised him from the dead. It was the Spirit of God. That Spirit that he received was the catalyst that removed the fear in his life. So we had the Spirit of God. There's no reason for us to be afraid. You know, even in the Old Testament, when, you know, Pharaoh said, can anybody find a man like this man Joseph in whom the Spirit of God is? He didn't even know what he was saying, probably. But he saw something. Well, how about today when we have the new birth spirit? You know, no reason to ever, ever be afraid. In Ephesians chapter 3. A couple more verses here. This is a pretty big topic, but an important one, you know. And one other quote that I had read was that one man said that, you know, everything you've always wanted in life is just on the other side of fear. Interesting. The things that stop people, you know. And that thing Mark Twain said is pretty insightful. He goes, most of the things I ever worried about have never happened. I spent my whole life worrying about things that never happened. Why would we do that when we know what God has done for us? We know who God is. In Ephesians 3, verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees," we read this last week, I think, as well, "unto the Father for our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." You see that? We don't have to be afraid. We're strengthened by the Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, not fear, the power that worketh within us, in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Christ in you. Remember, we looked at once one week that they knew him before he was exalted. The spirits fell down and said, "What are you doing here?" You know, before they know you. The Holy Spirit realm knows you because you have the Spirit of the living God. We have the Spirit of the living God within us. That perfect love that the Spirit brings casts out all fear, it says in 1 John. We're filled with his goodness. There is no room for fear in our lives whatsoever. And we'll close in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Got to read this. You know, all the things that could possibly put you in fear originate from the kingdom of the adversary. There's no reason for us ever to be afraid of death, for Jesus Christ has overcome death. The Bible says death has no more dominion over him. There's no reason to be afraid of fear of sickness and disease, for he overcame it, and by his stripes and by faith in his name, we have access to deliverance and authority over it. There's no reason to fear sin, for he has taken sin upon himself, for we are no longer in bondage to sin. There's no reason to fear want or poverty, for God supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There's no reason to fear loneliness, for by the work of Christ we have a Father and are part of the wonderful family of God, like we were praying earlier. So what's left, really? It's only that which we can allow to bring upon ourselves, the sources we listen to, and the exalting of our own human reasoning over what the Word of God says. And that's in our control. That's up to us. It doesn't mean fearful things won't happen around us, but we certainly know how to address them. And Romans chapter 8, 31. God read it. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And as we've said before, the list could be very, very long. But it doesn't matter, because as we read, once he's on your side, they that are with us are more than anything that can be ever against us, because God's on our side. And the Word of God says, you know, the psalmist said, "This I know, God is for me." He's for me. He's not against me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also, with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to your charge?" The charge of God's elect. God that justifieth? No. Who condemns? Christ that died? No. Yea, rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us regularly. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? These are all things that cause people to be afraid, are they not? Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sort of things that happen in the world around us, the things that we can look at if we want to, can they separate us? Verse 36, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." No, that's not true. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, and that's the whole heavenly realm of evil that could try to put you in fear and destroy your life, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing in God's creation is really what it says, and that includes me and you. Even we cannot do it to ourselves, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we absolutely have no reason to ever, ever be afraid. God is with us. He's the strength of our lives. We have God's word on the issues of life. We've been delivered by the work of Jesus Christ, and we are filled with the Spirit of the living God. So God bless. Have a wonderful week.